So I will proceed to call the meeting to order. We're meeting, this is the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting of May 3rd, 2022. Calling the meeting to order at 5 p.m. and we are meeting via video conference call. So I will call the roll. Tom Donahue?
Here.
Sean Carlton?
Here.
I'm Ann Price. I'll be chairing the meeting today in the absence of our chair, Carolyn McVicker. And we're also have learned that Director Gogas will be late to the meeting, intends to join us, but we're not sure exactly when. So we'll proceed with the meeting for now. Item three on the agenda is regarding the minutes from the April 12th, 2022 business meeting. Did we have any questions or concerns on the minutes?
None for me.
Me neither.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes then?
I move that we approve the minutes from the April 12th, 2022 business meeting.
I second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes of April 12th, 2022. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Item four, the financial report. We have accounts payable from April 1st, 5th, 15th, 20th, and 30th. Did we have any questions on the payables? Tom?
I had a couple. On April 1st, there were two payments to the Oregon Water Resources Department and the Oregon Health Authority Drinking Water Services. Were both of those fees to submit the water management and conservation
no.
plan?
No, the one to Oregon Health Authority for $90 was for one of our employees to apply to get a certification.
Excuse me, the one to OHA was on the 5th.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That was $4,000.
Yes, both of those are for the water management and conservation plan to two separate entities.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I could make a correction, one of them is the one to the Oregon Health Authority is the plan review fee for our water master plan, and one to the Oregon Water Resources Department is our plan review fee for our water management and conservation plan.
Okay, so they were fees to submit those plans, or what do you call it, an overview or a review?
It's a plan review fee.
That's pretty stiff fee, I must say.
I agree.
Also, on the 15th, the Card Services Center, it says photo pages, $127. Is that for our website?
No, we have an abundance of miscellaneous photos in boxes, and we purchased little sleeves to put those photos in to help preserve them. And now they are all in albums, and we are trying to catalog them.
Okay. Let me see. There was another one or two. The consolidated supply on the 15th. It's replenish inventory for Romax saddles. What the heck are those?
John, you can go ahead on that one.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. A saddle is usually a strap that goes around the pipe that facilitates a water tap. And so I think these were water tap saddles, but they could also be repair clamps too. It's probably a combination of both.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
They were 6-inch tapping saddles, 2-inch tapping saddles. The supply is really low. We talked to our distributor because we were ordering some anyways.
So we ordered more than we generally would because the supply chain is dwindling so fast. If we have an opportunity to get stuff, we have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. In other words, these are for taps new customers or new buildings, something like that, or
repair or new customers.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you, Leonard. On the 15th also is USA Blue Book, a WW digital tip. What the heck is that? Wastewater digital tip rotator or tip rotator.
I think it's a digital titrator.
Titrator, yes.
It's a digital titrator. It's a mechanism that you put little cartridges of reagent into, mm-hmm. and then you can dispense that reagent precisely into your water or wastewater sample for performing analysis.
Okay. Well, that's all I had. They were nothing really serious, but I some of those terms I've never heard before.
Sean, did you have any questions?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. I am too. So I'll entertain a motion to approve those accounts payable for those dates.
I move that we accept the accounts payable as presented for April 1st, April 5th, April 15th, April 20th, and April 30th of 2022.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for April 1st, April 5th, April 15th, April 20th, and April 30th. Of 2022. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay. Motion is approved unanimously. Any questions or observations on the fiscal year report? Hearing none, we'll move on to the item number 5, the manager's report.
A couple of things I wanted to highlight about the manager's report. The first one has to do, we did get our new utility truck finally, and we are planning to announce that the old truck is surplus, and Ann, you brought up some good points. I think what we need to do at the next business meeting is make an announcement that we have a truck that is surplus and that we intend to undergo a silent bid process. And so at the next meeting, we will make that announcement that we do have that surplus vehicle that we would like to get rid of. And then the following meeting, which would be the July meeting, would be when we open the bids and award the sale of the truck. So, small correction to the manager's report. We won't present the bids and award the sale during the June business meeting. I think because of a matter of process that we have to first basically announce the fact that we have a surplus vehicle during a board meeting, and we plan to make that announcement in the June meeting, and then we'll go through the silent bid process and then open the bids and award the sale of the truck to the winning bidder during the July meeting. Does that sound about right, Ann and Rochelle?
That sounds great as far as process goes, and for those of us that may not have done this process before, a piece of publicly owned property has to be declared as surplus by the owning public entity prior to its being available for sale. So that's that declaration is what we will have on the agenda in the June meeting. And once the board declares that vehicle surplus, which I gather that we will, then that the process of entertaining or soliciting bids for it can proceed. Tom, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. John or Rochelle, the new vehicle we purchased, are we in the process of adding the equipment to it that we'll need, or is it we just got it and it's not decked out yet?
It came with
tools.
It came with tool boxes. We got to get tools still. We're not going to put a ladder rack on it, but it does need lights still, and we still have a valid quote from the people that did our lights on the other trucks, and they will still honor that quote for the new truck.
Okay, one other thing, as far as the surplus truck, correct me, Ann, if I'm wrong, but I think it's my understanding that employees or board members can't participate in that process. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct, Tom. Yeah. I don't have that at my fingertips, but I do believe that that's correct. And if Rochelle is nodding, I suggest maybe she's looked into that.
I did read that because, we have employees who would love to buy it, but no, they cannot.
Okay. Thank you for getting ahead of us on that, Rochelle. I appreciate it. And thanks, Tom, for that question, because we got to clarify that.
The other couple of items I wanted to mention, the first one has to do with water rights. I've been promising I'm going to come to the board for a while now. I'm still not quite ready, and the reason why is I'm still weighing options. I outlined some options in the manager's report, and I'll reiterate them just to give everybody food for thought, because I will be coming to the board with a recommendation. I'm waiting until I'm prepared to make a recommendation before I come to the board. I feel like that's appropriate. And, definitely interested in input at that time, but I did want to mention that, we've got essentially four options related to how we pursue this water rights issue. We can pursue extending our current permit, which is for 2.0 cubic feet per second. That would not be pursuing a water right. It would be just simply extending our permit, which is pretty much the status quo. We can pursue a water right certificate based on the current capacity of Horn Creek, which is 1.34. We can pursue a water right certificate based on an increase in capacity of Horn Creek of 50%, which would be for 2.0 cubic feet per second, or we can double or increase the capacity of Horn Creek to 100%, which would make us eligible for a water rights certificate for about 2.68, virtually 2.7. Now, I will say that those options are not quite as viable. Some of the options are not quite as viable as we think, because just want to give you guys just a piece of background. So we have, at our current diversion point, we have two existing water rights certificates that combined equals 0.68 cubic feet per second. And we also have a water rights permit, which is the basis of the conversation, for 2.0 cubic feet per second. Combined, those equal 2.68 cubic feet per second. But the reason I say that all these options aren't quite as viable as they may seem at first was that, for example, if we decided to not spend the money on expanding Horn Creek, but yet we want to certify the water rights that we're currently using, and we are currently using 1.34 cubic feet per second, we would not be able to certify this permit at 1.34, because what happens is, with the two existing certificates we have that equal 0.68, those have to come into play, which means that since we already have water rights for 0.68, we would only be eligible for 1.34 minus 0.68 on certifying this permit. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, since we already have two water rights certificates and we have to demonstrate beneficial use for the total of our permit and our existing certificates, well, 1.34 minus 0.68 is the only thing we'd be able to certify this current permit for. The combined total of the three would equal 1.34. Do you follow me? So it means that, you know, we wouldn't be certifying our current permit at the current Horn Creek capacity of 1.34, because we'd have to deduct the amount of our two current certificates off of that. So we always have to demonstrate beneficial use. And beneficial use to us means whatever our treatment plant has the capacity for. And currently that's only about 1.35, which equates to about 600 gallons per minute. So as we head into these conversations within the next couple of business meetings, if you guys would keep that in mind as we discuss the options, you know, that's an important concept that everybody has to keep in mind as they're considering these options. If anybody has any questions about this topic, certainly happy to do my best to answer your questions, but I do want to point out we will be bringing this to the board in as an agenda item sometime soon.
Tom, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. The way you wrote this up in your report, the current capacity of Horn Creek is 1.34 CFS. Is that the capacity of the creek itself or the capacity of the treatment plant?
That's the capacity of the treatment plant. That's all we can currently treat with our existing system and infrastructure.
Okay, if we add another skid, that would double our, or I'm thinking it would double our treatment plant capacity. Is that correct?
Yes, if we were, the plant was designed for expansion, thankfully, and if we were to double our current production, that would bring us to 2.7, which would not only permit us to certify the entire 2.0 cubic feet per second in our capacity, it would also demonstrate that we cover the additional 0.68 that's currently contained in our two existing water rights certificates.
Okay. So, have you researched by any chance what it would cost to skid it?
Yes, the without adding any additional pumping, and there is part of the expansion is the plant does have the ability to expand the raw water pumping by one pump and the finished water pumping by one pump. The Paul upgrade itself for the skid and all the associated PLC programming and SCADA work to pull that in is we're currently looking at $980,000. If we wanted to add the additional pumping, and really the addition would only give us a redundant pump. We currently have two raw water pumps and two finished water pumps that I think would handle the full capacity. But to provide that redundancy with a spare pump, which is probably advisable, we'd be looking at probably needing to add $250,000 to that total. So we would be looking at somewhere around $1.25 million for a full upgrade of the treatment facility, which would be a doubling of the capacity.
Okay, that answers all my questions. We can talk some more about it later.
Good. Sean, did you have any questions?
I was trying to find it, and I don't have it handy. Do you have a recollection, John, of what the water master plan progression for projection for demand is over the next 20 years? Is our demand double? Our needs double over the next 20 years?
Well, that's going to be the big question, Sean, is we're a long ways off from having legitimate need for that capacity. And when I mean a long ways off to get to 2.7, we may be talking like 2065 before we're there.
Do we lose any of the opportunity if we don't act now, or?
Well, we have to do something before our current permit expires. And our current permit expires in October 2025. So we need to make a decision about a path forward by then. If we're going to pursue extending our current permit, we've got plenty of time. If we're going to pursue doubling the capacity of the Horn Creek treatment facility and finding a method to fund that, then we probably need to get started pretty quick.
Just one of the other reasons for this whole discussion, and especially as it relates, I think, Sean, maybe to your comment about future needs and production amounts and that kind of thing, is way back when we first started talking about this whole thing, we did it with an eye toward the fact that the dune wells and the spit wells may be particularly vulnerable given their age and location, and especially thinking ahead. A lot of the recommendations, as we know, that are going to come in the master plan or came in the master plan were related to seismic damage issues, and those wells are particularly vulnerable to salinization when it comes to that. So that is part of the background to this whole discussion that we've been having and will continue to have. And I appreciate John's thoroughness in researching this, because it is a big decision. And I feel confident that he's going to have it very well in hand and be able to explain it to us. So appreciate that, John. Yeah, Sean.
Just kind of one more wrench to throw in there. And John, let me just see if I can recap this in my head, if I'm doing this correctly. But water rights are a progressive process where you go from permit to certificate, and that's all part of the process. And you have a certain amount of time to do that process in, and you, at one point, they were kind of a little looser with granting people permit extensions, but my understanding is that they've tightened that up now, and so it is actually much harder to get an extension than it is to actually complete the progressive process and get the certification. Is that correct?
Yes, and I've confirmed this with experts in the field. Extending a permit, especially a permit that's already been extended at least once or twice, and the idea is you get a permit for a period of time so you can develop and perfect the permit, which basically means you put the infrastructure in to be able to use the water or to process the water. And yes, it is a process. And the permit process is much more strenuous, much more stressful, much more in question and under scrutiny, oddly enough, than certifying a permit is. The certification process is generally easier and less stringent.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thanks, John.
Yeah, the only other thing that I really wanted to mention is the Horn Creek, in terms of project updates, is the Horn Creek software and hardware upgrades. Those are taking place this week. In addition, this week, we also at the wastewater treatment plant, we have upgraded our alarm notification software, WIN911, at the wastewater treatment plant as well. And that has been upgraded and is fully functional. We're having some trouble with our alarm notification software at the wastewater treatment plant. And we're struggling a bit trying to figure out why. Well, it turns out that the analog phone line was dead and you need a working analog phone line. And somebody apparently had run over one of our PEDs, you know, our little phone line pedestals, and we had to call CenturyLink out to get the phone line back up and running, but that combined with a new modem and an updated program at the wastewater treatment plant, that system is back up to full functionality, and that's kind of a side project to the bigger project that's going on at Horn Creek out there. As you all know, we have now have fiber optic. We have fiber to Horn Creek. We have a new server, which was due. And we are upgrading, as we speak, the SCADA software to the latest version. We're replacing an obsolete alarm notification program out there and also installing WIN911 out there. And we're installing a perpetual historian database, which is a data logger of key performance indicators of the drinking water treatment plant, and which we've never had before. And that work is going on this week. So far, it's going very well on schedule, and we'll have in terms of hardware and software at both Horn Creek and at the wastewater treatment plant. It's been a good week because we're making upgrades and improvements at both locations and the process is going very well. So that was probably my last comment on the manager's report if there are no other questions.
Sounds good. Tom, you got a question?
Yes. I had two more. John, what's the status of the fence? Has that been built around the wells?
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. So what we've done is, well, what we had previously done is we surveyed and staked the fence line. And we did that for a couple of reasons. One, because if we're going to do this, we're going to do it with a goal in mind, and that is delineating a setback of 100 feet around all the well heads. And that surveying also gave me an exact linear footage of fencing needed, so that made it easy to seek quotes and bids from contractors. Last week, we had the fence line itself, a corridor along the fence line cleared by Bros and Hoes. They came out and they cleared a corridor that involved brush cutting and tree pruning. My instructions were we are not going to take down any trees. We're not going to cut down trees, but if we need to do some pruning, we can do that. If by chance there's a tree in the straight line of sight, we'll just do a little jog around it because I'm trying to avoid tree cutting on the BLM property, which opens up a variety of requirements on our part. So that clearing has been done. I believe the winning bidder for the fence contract is going to come and take one more look at the fence line just to be sure that it's clear enough that he feels he can get in there to do the work. But I walked it today. He's got plenty of room to do his work. And so he's got half the fencing materials, which is a lot of cedar fencing, if you can imagine. It's like 2,485 linear feet. He's got half of the fencing materials in stock, waiting for the other half, and then we'll get it on the schedule and get the fence up. I would predict, if I can be optimistic, that the fence will be up and the project will be done in June.
Cool. One last thing. What's the status of our water leak detection equipment?
Well, we've sent what we had back for warranty replacement. We haven't gotten the replacement yet. We're hoping to get it soon. But nonetheless, we have found we did find a significant leak that pulls water out of the 600K. One reason we knew we had a leak, we were losing water out of the 600K in a noticeable way, which led us to do a thorough search of the area. We did find the leak. The leak was coming, I believe, and Leonard can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was coming from a separated fitting on a discharge line downstream of one of our PR valves, and that has been repaired. And we also recently found a faulty check valve on well number one, and it wasn't just faulty. When Leonard and his crew pulled it out of there, that check valve was completely pretty much shot. It was gone. The spring was gone. Now, although I don't think that's a source of any unaccounted for water in terms of just water flowing backwards into the well or the wellhead through the broken check valve, I can tell you that that broken check valve would have caused a lot of opportunity for meter readings that were probably less than accurate. And so if nothing else, at the very least, this discovery in replacing that check valve should improve the reliability of our water meter on that particular wellhead, which is only going to help our situation because we rely on those meters to tell us what we're producing. So, we should have the replacement equipment for the acoustic leak detector that we got that was bad right out of the box. And that was uncommon. This is a very well-known, respected brand, but it does happen. And we're expecting to get a replacement next week for that, and at which time we will move forward with what we had hoped to start a month ago, which is a proactive leak detection program.
So let me interrupt just for a moment to mention for the for the minutes that Director Gogas has joined us as of 5:33 p.m. Welcome, Cameron.
Yay.
Hi, Cameron.
Happy hello, everybody. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Any other questions on that point?
Are you talking about the leak detection project? Our water consumption and stuff? Yeah,
there were a number of things in there related to that.
So did you find the big leak, or that we're still in the process, I take it then?
Well, we're not sure. We're not sure whether we've got a single leak that is helping to contribute to our problems, or just a whole multitude of smaller ones at this point. We did find a significant leak near the 600K. It wasn't the one that that you had brought to our attention, Cameron, but it was one that was significant. But the question is there, in our situation, is there, you know, a big leak? Is there a single contributing factor to three quarters of our problem? I don't know the answer to that, but every time we find one that we consider to be significant, we ask ourselves, is this the one? And we have fixed quite a few leaks, but yet you all saw our water unaccounted for water this month. And, you know, it's a little discouraging, but all it tells us is that we still have work to do.
Well, it's kind of like they're out there until they do the big giant blow up or whatever, or sinkhole. So, you know, it's probably going to be an ongoing process. We got old lines, so as long as nobody gets hurt.
Okay, that pretty much brings us to the end of the manager's report. So we can move on to item number 6, unfinished business. 6A is the water and wastewater master plans. John?
Yeah, the only update, the significant update I have this, and it's a good one, is that the state of Oregon has already approved our water master plan.
Yay!
So that means it is truly done. And for the first time in many months, next month I won't have anything on the agenda regarding the water master plan, because it is officially done and approved by the state of Oregon. And the wastewater plan, we've got just a small handful of things to provide to Parametrics in way of their data request. And once we get that, then they're going to be calibrating that model, and we should see a draft of that very soon. I think there's literally a half a dozen pieces of information we've got to give them, and then the information gathering is over. They'll calibrate the model, and we should see something for that very soon. You know, I've been saying that for a while, but I do just want to point out to the board that since the contract was signed for the water and wastewater master plan, we signed another contract for a water management and conservation plan with a hard, aggressive deadline, and that naturally did pull away a fair amount of the effort and emphasis for that 6 or 7 month period. But that is, if you don't mind me jumping ahead, Ann, because I'm kind of pulling it in anyway.
Oh, go ahead.
That water management and conservation plan is, you know, is something that is now before the Oregon Water Resources Department, and waiting for their approval of the plan. I know already that it will take them, it generally takes them longer to approve these plans than it does the Oregon Health Authority. So all we're waiting for is the results of their review of that plan, and then they'll let us know if they have any questions or any needed revisions. But just like the Water Master Plan, I'm not expecting to hear much. And within the next 30 to 60 days, I think we'll hear back from the Water Resources Department in terms of that plan.
That's nice to have kind of a ballpark timeline. Appreciate that, John.
Now, is this anything that we can be fined on, or any suggestions of fines or anything for anything of this sort or for that? Okay.
Well, what this is just a plan review process. So if there's something in there that they don't feel is adequate or is in compliance with the regulations that pertain to the necessary content of these plans, they will let us know and we'll have an opportunity to revise the plan.
So like a timeline, they'll give us to fix it?
Yeah. We had a deadline for the original submission. If there is any revisions that are requested, I'm pretty sure they'll give us a reasonable period of time to get those completed.
Okay.
Anything else on those, on that, John?
No.
So item 6C, SDAO Best Practices Insurance Program, do we have an update on that?
Well, the only update...
Yeah, go ahead. You know, we put this on the agenda again, we've got, I think, 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 6 things already covered in terms of the Best Practices Insurance Program, which gives us a deduction on our premiums. And the reason we bring this in here is just to continue to seek board member assistance with getting at least another 2%, if not another 4% of our... Michelle, we're... I think if we follow the guidelines from five different items, that we get a maximum of 10%. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we've already got 6. Mm-hmm. Looking for the other 4, I will say that we can get another 2 with minimal effort and commitment by, I think, only 2 board members.
I've already got 4 out of 5 board members that have watched a training video.
Oh,
I just need one more, and then we'll get that 2%. And then as far as the other 2%, it's the SDAO Leadership Academy. It's entirely up to you guys if you would like to sign up for that. But it would be a series of trainings. Either, I think some of them are online, some of them may be in person, over the course of the next 3 years.
And is it safe to say that, at least for a couple of the board members, that's a much larger commitment of time and effort than the just watching the single video telecourse or whatever it is?
Absolutely. It would take more of your time, yes.
So I guess what I would like to see, and the reason we've got it on the agenda, is if we can get that last board member to just take the class, we'll get an additional 2% discount. Yeah. And then whether any member of the board feels as though they can commit to the larger commitment to go after the last 2%, that's entirely a board decision. And mm-hmm. with the understanding, I think it is a bigger commitment. Mm-hmm. But if we can... because I do believe, Rochelle, there is a deadline for completion.
It's November 1st, so we have some time.
Oh, so we have time.
Yeah.
But if we can get that...
Cameron already committed to
okay.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So
But
we need 2 people, so of 4 board members, we need 1 person to step in.
Stop.
Yeah, we're not trying to put anybody on the spot. It's mm-hmm. just... because we have an opportunity and we do have some time, we wanted to leave it on the agenda just, you know, as a reminder to the board that, you know, we can save some bucks if we can, you know, if we can get some of these things
done.
So, really, I don't have any more comment about that line item than that.
Okay, thank you. Item 6D, in-person board meetings. We did discuss this at some length at the last meeting. Do we have any new information to share or provide for the board?
Rochelle, if we haven't already, why don't you let the board know in terms of what we've done and what we've discovered in terms of an alternate meeting location?
Sure. I reached out to KCC, and originally they had told me that it wasn't available because Zumba's that same day and we don't really, I mean, we could have the board meeting in one room and Zumba would be in the other, but it would probably be distracting. But then they called me back and said that they would move Zumba for us for a fee, and it would be, I believe I want to say it was $135 an hour. So that would be a board decision on whether or not you wanted to pay for that, and we could get it on the schedule. They said they would definitely move it for us and reserve that space. I did try to contact the church at the post office. I've emailed, called, left voicemails, and have not received any correspondence back.
Tom, you got a question?
Your inquiries to KCC, mm-hmm. was, you say it was $135 an hour. Darn it, it just skipped my mind what I was going to ask you.
Sean?
Yeah, so that on Rochelle, that $135 an hour fee, was that the fee we would pay sort of to justify moving Zumba to another time, or is that the fee we would pay for use of the facility?
Their response was they would move it for a meeting or something that was going to pay more than what Zumba is paying. I don't know if Zumba is paying, but if somebody was willing to pay more, they would, that person would take precedent.
So we'd be looking at $270 a month.
Probably.
Yeah. Or a little more if we had set up time or something like
yeah.
that.
Unless you guys talk really fast.
That doesn't ever happen.
No.
Well, I kind of feel like it would be worthwhile. I don't know what the problem is with contacting Pacific Coast Bible Church. I used to do that, set up meetings there all the time, and I'd never had that kind of experience of having trouble getting contact back. Maybe, Rochelle, I could call you or we could email and I can tell you who it was I was contacting and we could kind of compare notes. And
sure. I was just going off their website and off the information on their door on what email and phone number to use, so...
Well, and people change in organizations too.
Yeah.
So, and it's been a while since I've done it, but I think that's possibly a viable alternative.
Yeah.
So, Tom, do you have a comment or question?
I can't recall, Ed, what CPAC was charged, but the Dory Association used to meet there all the time. And they actually didn't charge us anything, but we always made a very nice donation to the church.
And that was the same thing with the CAC. We were not charged anything officially, but we made recommendations to the membership to make donations to the church.
Well, in this case, if they could do it, I'd point out that they do have, you know, a very good PA system there. They also have a very good video system there that we could use. And with COVID and still out there and concerns in the community, I think we could justify, you know, a reasonable donation to the church on a regular basis if they will do that.
Oh, did we lose John?
No, I'm here. I just had to get up for a second.
Oh, okay. So that's great. Thanks, Tom. And Rochelle?
I just want to say, as a government facility, we cannot make a donation to anybody. I would prefer if they charge us a fee.
Okay. That's another detail on that list. Yeah, Sean.
Good to know.
My feeling is $270 a month is, I think it's a justifiable expense to get into a larger, safer space and start getting back to community meetings and in-person community meetings. And then I would add to that, you know, given that we don't know where COVID is going and given that we're all going to have a different comfort level with COVID and interacting with people, that we come up with some plan that if we do have in-person meetings and some or a number of board members are uncomfortable attending in person, that we have the ability to have some people on a remote, whether it's a Microsoft Teams or a Zoom or whatever it happens to be, so that we could have some sort of a hybrid system where if a board member decided, you know, they were not in a safe space at that particular time, that they could still attend the meeting via a Microsoft Teams call, and then those who were comfortable could be in person.
That's great. Cameron, did you have a comment?
Yeah, what would we have to do, Rochelle, as far as the conference room to adapt to such a thing as a Microsoft team meeting and thing? I mean, we're going to have to kind of start looking at possibility of changing our conference room somehow and changing the video system so we could do meetings, team meetings also there along with in-person.
I'm not 100%. I know when we were conducting interviews during COVID, we would basically just sit around your table and set up a laptop and talk to the person from afar.
Well, I mean, as far as the board members, we're a little bit tight and close. I'd like to be a little bit, not that I don't mind you guys, but, you know, it's... Everybody's
I'm sure
adjusted
we could,
differently towards
bodies
around.
With Sean's calculation of the 6 feet and having 28 square feet per person, we can fit, I think we decided on like 11 people.
11, maybe. Yeah.
So there's five of you, me and John, and we can have four guests. And I think Tim is going to be one of those, and Leonard. So you can invite two people.
Have you thought of reconfiguring our conference room somehow?
We would have to add on to the building, and I don't see that being feasible.
No.
We'd have to go out into the parking lot, and that would block access to the back part of the plant, I think.
Yes.
Well, and if I remember correctly, too, at the last meeting when we had this discussion, we had a similar set of issues. We have a little more information this time. Thank you, Rochelle, for gathering that. It seems as though we have a little more to gather before we can make a firm decision. And we also, in the last meeting, discussed that we would want Chair McVicker to be present at a meeting when the final discussion and decision-making process was. So we're not in a position to do that at this meeting, and I think we can continue to gather information and ideas and also keep an eye on how things are going with COVID locally and in the state. Since we have so many tourist visitors, we are, I think, as a community, affected by what's going on in other parts of the state with regard to COVID. So,
do you think we could push the building out towards that fence of the parking lot? I mean, you're gaining, what, about 15 feet, 15 by maybe 20? I mean, go a little bit deeper towards the back and...
We could, but then we would have like an L-shaped conference room, and I don't know that you'd be able to see everybody. And
well, no, you could. You just change your door entrance over by the L shape, so it's not.
Okay, I see.
The door back, and then you'd still have more room. I mean, it's just it's an idea. We just have to find out the feasibility and the
cost.
Yeah, the cost and the what would the county limitations or setbacks or that kind of stuff.
That will be an issue too.
Sean?
I mean, just keep in mind that, you know, that 28 square feet a person is just kind of an easy, you know, gut check kind of way of looking at things. But, you know, the way that we've got it set up now, we're certainly closer than 6 feet to one another as board members. And you also have to keep in mind that that 6 foot rule was based on 15 minutes of exposure, and in a board meeting we're at 2 hours of exposure. So, you know, my feeling is there's not much we're going to be able to do with that space to make it safe, at least not in the short term of the COVID era, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then I would add that, you know, one of the things we talked about at the last meeting, and I don't know if y'all had a chance to follow up on it, but I would certainly advocate just making a connection with legal counsel to check and see what kind of issues we need to be aware of for having a meeting in a place that was not owned by PCJWSA. You know, I would say from a safety standpoint, you know, what do you do if on the, you know, heaven forbid customers get or attendees get out of hand? What do you do if an attendee is coughing and sneezing and you know, violently expelling bodily fluids? You know, these are all kind of things that I think we ought to be thinking about and ask the question on how we handle these meetings. And then I would just final note, I don't know that we can continue to wait on Chair McVicker before we make a decision on this. I think, you know, maybe we ought to shoot for a July meeting at the community center so that we can start this ball rolling and start getting back to in-person meetings.
Yeah.
John, did you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, just a comment. I would just offer this to the group. It's my understanding that for the first time in quite some time, the Chamber of Commerce is having in-person meeting for the first time in a long time. Now, I'm not really familiar with their meeting location or anything like that, but between now and our next board meeting, I might reach out and see, because they've had to have had these conversations, right? And I'd like to see, what their thought process was, because, you know, maybe we'll learn something that we can utilize to help us get back to where they're going here with their next meeting. I do believe they have typically more people attend their meetings than ours, and yet they feel like they're in a spot where they can now get back to in-person meetings. And I think I'll reach out. I think his name's Dave. I'll reach out to Dave and just chat with them a bit, because they've had to have had these same conversations, and just see what how their decision making process evolved and how they got to where they are now and feel as though that they can do it safely, and maybe we might learn something that we can implement to help us get back to in-person meetings faster.
Yeah, I think Doug Olson might be a good person to contact on that, and I think that's an excellent idea. That Doug's certainly familiar with all of the issues, and as you say, they've probably had the same discussion, and so let's give you a chance to do that, and we can review all of the new information at next month's meeting.
Okay. And the legalities of the legals. Then Rochelle will talk to legal then about the safety aspects of it, of another building and all that, for John's question.
John will handle that one as the manager.
Yeah.
Okay. As soon as I get back from vacation.
Right.
Yeah. I can't wait.
So, moving along, item 7 on the agenda is new business. Do we have any new business, John, Rochelle?
Not this month. We're hoping to bring you some next month, but not this month.
Item 8 is guest questions and comments. Did we have any guest questions and comments submitted?
Nope.
Rochelle's shaking her head no. John's shaking his head no. Okay, item 9, chair and director comments. Do we have any chair or director comments? Yes, Tom. And then Cameron.
I would like to commend John and Leonard and Rochelle and the rest of our staff for some really good work for the last few months. I mean, we've had a lot of things on our plate. You've handled them all in a very professional way, got them done. You're moving forward on all the little things that are necessary right now. It sounds like you've got good plans laid out, John. So I just want to commend everybody on the team for, you know, a pretty darn good job. Well done.
Thank you, Tom.
I would second that. I'm seeing a bunch of nodding heads board members. So, yeah, I think we're all right on board with that comment, Tom. Thank you for that. Cameron, did you have a comment or question?
Well, I don't know if you guys talked about it, but I know this was Carolyn's plan on the strategic planning and stuff. So I take it we're going to probably talk about that when she gets back.
Yeah, it was Carolyn's. Carolyn had wanted to put the strategic plan on the agenda for a couple of few months because I think it's going to require more than just one meeting to go over it. You know, it was something that she wanted to, it was her idea to bring it to the board. I know she wanted to play a significant part in those discussions and those plans. And it's kind of, in my mind, it's a board issue, which means that it would be primarily a discussion and a decision-making process from the 5 board members. But since she's the board chair and she's the one that wanted to bring it to the board and to begin that process, I'm reluctant to put it on the agenda until she's available, just because I don't feel as though I'm going to be a big part in that process, and I feel like it probably needs the whole 5-member group of the board of directors to really put together a good, solid strategic plan. My preference would be to wait for her to become available again, and because this was really her suggestion and this was her item that she was going to bring, and without her, I don't have anything to really offer. But I feel as though that her participation is going to be pretty critical in that process.
Now, do you think this is something that we could get done in maybe a workshop or a meeting prior to a board meeting where we all get together? What's everybody's thought about this since, you know, going through it?
I think very possibly that might be a good approach, but I also am respectful of what John's saying, that Carolyn had thought this through and is kind of leading the conversation on it. And so let's keep that in mind. In the meantime, if people want to feel as though they're moving in the right direction, it might be a good time to take the time now to kind of reread this strategic plan, because that's obviously going to be part of the process. So if you want to feel as though you personally are making some success, some progress on that, any individual board member, that that might be a good thing to start doing now, and we'll wait till Carolyn's back to proceed with the discussion of the approach, and very possibly a workshop would be part of that.
Probably in order. And then the next thing, how are we set as far as our budget calendar? Are we still rolling on the same dates that we've got set up?
Yes.
Are we going to be meeting here again? Are we going to be doing meetings video or in the building?
Yes, this meeting will be via video, just like last year.
Because the next one is...
May 17th, we will have the budget committee meeting.
May 10th? Oh, that's the workshop regular. Because you have it down for a workshop.
That was... Typically, you would have a workshop after the business meeting. Now we've moved the business meeting to the 3rd, but you all know how the budget works, so... I don't know that we need a budget workshop today.
May 17th. I won't be there.
Okay.
I'm still on vacation.
Okay. I will... what day do you go on vacation?
I leave on the 10th and back the 18th.
Okay. I will give you... Yeah, go ahead.
5 p.m. start.
It is 5 p.m. I will, when you get back, maybe the 19th, Cameron, I will drop off your budget committee folder because we're not going to adopt it until June so that you can look through it and ask questions.
Oh, yeah, and there's also on the 31st one, so, right. Okay.
Hey, any other director comments? Hearing none and seeing some shaking heads, I think we're ready to adjourn the meeting. It is 6:06 p.m., and we will adjourn the PCJWSA Board of Directors business meeting for May 3rd, 2022.